Evening, everyone.
Evening.
Today we're going to speak about dreams. And if you know me good enough, it's always going to be mixed with something else. And one announcement before I start. Every Sunday I have a lecture in Magen Avraham Shul in Brooklyn, 8:30, every Sunday in Brooklyn. Every Monday I have in Rigo Park here in Queens, and every Tuesday here, Bezrat Hashem. We have a new app on the website. Everyone can go to the Apple Store and download it. Divine Information, that's the name of it, or Rabbi Mizrahi. You can basically download it and get all the lectures automatically to your phone, which, you know, it's very convenient. As I said, today we're going to speak about dreams. We find that many, many people today dreaming dreams, and they have lots of doubts. What's the meaning of these dreams? It became a very, very successful business to some people who are solving dreams. And we're going to see the roots of the dreams. What does it mean, a dream? Where does it come from? Is it real? Is it not? Is it different today than it used to be? Or is it just as good as it used to be 2,000-3,000 years ago? We have to see. The first source in the Torah, it says that Yaakov Avinu said, "Vayomer elai malach haElohim b'chalom." Yaakov va'omar ineni. We find a source in a written Torah that Jacob, he said that the angel came to him in a dream, and he called his name, and he answered, "Here I am." So that's one source in a Torah that a dream, it's something real. Why? An angel comes and speaks to him in a dream. Obviously, there's some kind of a spiritual conversation between him and his soul. Not the body. The body is sleeping, obviously. So Yaakov, his soul, speaking, communicating with an angel that is a spiritual thing. Then it says, "Vayi beit yachem atzom, vayisa enai vayere b'chalom, v'hine atudim ha'olim al atzon, akudim, nekudim uvrudim." Yaakov Avinu had an argument with his father-in-law, Lavan. What was the argument? The argument was, now Yaakov is leaving. He's going to leave. And he wants to take with him a pension. "I worked for you for 20 years. I deserve to take something with me." So they made a deal. This kind of sheep that will be born with stains will be mine, the rest will be yours. And Yaakov saw in a dream, right, a hint what's going to happen, and based on that, exactly later on, the dream came through, and he took with him lots of sheep and became wealthy. Because Lavan was a typical crook that was trying to take advantage on him. So here is a second source in the Torah that a dream has a meaning. That he was told what's going to happen, and based on that dream, he became a wealthy man when he left the house of his father-in-law, Lavan. Two sources. Then, it says like this. It says in the Torah, in Bamidbar, chapter 12, in Numbers 12, it says like this. "Va'ish Moshe anav me'od mikol ha'adam al pnei ha'adama." Moshe, the man Moshe, is more humble than any other person on earth. Most humble person ever. "Vayomer Hashem pitom el Moshe." And Hashem suddenly say to Moshe and to Aaron and to Miriam, "Tzu shloshtechem elo el Moed." All of you go to the tent of Moed. That's the holy tent. When they were traveling in the desert for 40 years, this the tent was the place of meeting between Moshe and Hashem. "Vayered Hashem be'amud anan," and Hashem came, the Spirit, the holiness of Hashem came down in a cloud. ויעמוד פתח האוהל, in the entrance of the tent. And then he said to Aaron and Miriam to go out. They both came out. ויאמר, this is what he said to them, שמעו נא דבריי. אם יהיה נביא אחריכם, השם במראה אליו את ודה בחלום אדבר בו. לא כן עבדי משה בכל ביתי נאמנו. פה אל פה אדבר בו. הוא מראה ולא בחידות, ותמונת השם יביט. ומדוע לא יראתם לדבר בעבדי משה? Translation. All the prophets that I speak to them, I speak to them in a dream, Hashem say. I give them the prophecy while they sleep. Here is another source in the Torah that a dream is a way to communicate and receive spiritual information. So all the prophets, in order for them to communicate with me, they have to sleep. They cannot speak to me when they awake. Except your brother Moshe, my faithful servant. He can speak to me when he's awake. I'm speaking to him mouth to mouth. He sees an image, not with a hint or not in like a movie. It's face, it's direct, and it's clear. How did you dare to speak against him? Bottom line, if you know the entire story, they obviously didn't speak against him. They actually meant well for him. Aaron and Miriam, two righteous people, they both prophets. And they are the older brothers and sisters of Moshe Rabbeinu. They mean well for their young brother. They meant well, but from their conversation, it looked like it's Lashon Hara, and Hashem got upset with them. It's needless to say what happened if this person is your enemy, and you hate him, and you speak bad, and you want to hurt him, what's going to be your punishment? If you meant well for your young brother, you really want to help him, you didn't come to hurt him, and Hashem got angry at them, imagine us, if we say something that about somebody, how bad it can get. So that's the third source in the Torah about a dream. Come the Malbim. Malbim was about 150 years ago, one of the commentators on the Torah. A brilliant one. If you read his commentary on the Torah, you are really keep getting amazed more and more and more. It says like this, the Navi, the prophet, knows the difference between a dream and a prophecy, which means both of them comes in a dream. Prophet that goes to sleep, sometimes just have a routine dream, like we all do, but sometimes the dream is a prophecy from Hashem. So the prophet can tell the difference whether he's just dreaming or if it's real prophecy from Hashem. V'im yodea sheyesh ito chalom, if he realizes it's a dream, yesaper shehu chalom, he will tell the dream as a prophecy. And if it's a dream, he will describe it as a regular dream. If it's a prophecy, he will tell that it's a prophecy and this is the true word of God. And one more rule. Every dream that we dream, even if it's a real dream, always have false mix in it. So if you have a story, some of the details over there are false. There's no dream that is 100% real. It has to be sometimes minor details in a dream or sometimes serious details in a dream that it's false. But a prophecy, not one word over there, it's false. It's all divine message. And a divine message, nothing is ever was or will be false. So right away, when it's a prophecy and the prophet knows that it wasn't just a dream, it's a message, then he tells every detail of the prophecy. And nothing in it is irrelevant. Everything is very relevant. Another source, now we already gave three sources. One more source in Sefer Bereshit chapter 20, Genesis 20. ויבוא אלוקים אל אבימלך בחלום הלילה. And God came to the king Avimelech in the dream at night. ויאמר לו, and he told him, הנך מת על האישה אשר לקחת והיא ברולת בעל. You're going to die for the woman you took because she's a married woman. Who is he speaking about? Sarah, the wife of Avraham Avinu. Avraham said to him, she's my sister. What did he know? He took her. She was a very pretty, beautiful woman. Usually the kings of those days always get the prettiest women. So obviously nothing was wrong from his point of view. She's a single woman. She's a righteous woman, the sister of the most righteous, famous Hebrew person in the world. It's an honor for him to take her. And then in the middle of the night, before he was about to make a scene with her, Hashem came to him in a dream and warned him, the woman you took, she's a married woman, Eshet Ish. So what do we see from here? That is very interesting, because you have to know that there was prior to Matan Torah. That's before the Torah was given. If you know, the Rambam says that until the Torah was given, a person saw a girl and he liked her and she liked him, and he asked her if she wants to be with him, and she agreed. Right away they move in together and they live like a husband and wife. No ceremony, no rabbi, no kiddushin, nothing whatsoever. They like each other like boyfriend and girlfriend. They can go in and do whatever they want. That's it, they couple. They want to break up, they say goodbye and they leave. Don't need divorce, don't need to beg him to give her a get, nothing. That's how it was all over the world. Then when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jews, He took them out of nature. They're not behaving anymore like animals. No, like animals meet each other in a field and they like each other and they have desires, so the next thing they have babies. No, it doesn't work like this anymore. And since they became holy, now they have to behave like holy. What's holy? Holy, it's with dignity. So he wants to be with her, he has to marry her. She's going to be dedicated only to him and he with her. And if one day they want to break it up, there's a way to do it. It has to be official. So the Jews from that moment on, they have to get married. That's it. Abraham, it's hundreds of years before the Torah was given. Right? Yaakov went to Egypt, 210 years of slavery, and Abraham was before. So we talk about approximately more than 300 years before the Torah was given. So there was no Judaism yet officially. It was only Abraham HaIvri that Hashem loves very much. So he has a wife. How did Abraham marry Sarah? He put a ring on her finger and he said to her, "Hare at mekudeshetli?" Probably not. There's no Torah yet. The law of Kiddushin wasn't given yet. Even though the Torah said that Abraham Avinu kept all the Torah, everything, "Eker v'ashem shamar Abraham et torotai, chukotai u'mitzvotai," so the Torah testified that Abraham kept everything. Chazan said even the rabbinical laws he kept. But still, it was prior to Matan Torah. So we see over here that by the Goyim today, even though they don't have to marry like the Jews, Vini and Christine, they met in a club and they want to be together. So she said to him, "Listen, I'm a very ultra-Orthodox Christian. My parents would be very mad if we just move in together before we get married. So let's go to the priest, let him marry us, and then I can move in with you. Otherwise, you're going to have a whole problem with the town of Texas over there. You know, all the cowboys will come. They're very angry. And they find out that I make such a scene." These things, well, this fairy tale I was just telling you about, it's a common thing by the Christians. But in reality, it's all baloney. They don't need all this. They meet each other, even righteous Gentile. They like each other. "Would you want to be with me?" Yeah. But. If they decide to be together, they don't need to get married. They don't need a priest, they don't need ring, they don't need nothing. They move in, that's it, kosher. For them it's kosher. But once they're together, they're not allowed to see anyone else. They have to be faithful. They don't want each other, they say goodbye, they break up. From the minute they decide to break up officially, they can go a minute later and have somebody else and live with them. No problem whatsoever. So what's the difference? There are three different kinds of levels. There are animals in nature that they do whatever they want. The chimpanzee can be with this female and another one, and she can be with another male. They do whatever they want. There's no rules. Everyone does whatever they want, like Sodom and Gomorrah. Then there's the goyim. That the goyim don't have to make it so official, but they have rules. They're not animals. They have rules. What's the rules? You're either with me only, and that's it. Or once we break up, you can do whatever you want. But they have to be faithful to each other, but they don't need a marriage. And they don't need divorce. They just say goodbye and it's over. But the Jews is much more complicated. Because if the husband doesn't give her a get, she can be stuck forever now. And it's much more complicated. So over here, even though there was no Matan Torah yet, Avimelech was about to touch a married woman to Abraham. Legally, they're together. They're not officially married according to the Torah yet. But what is there was a very, very, very bad sin. Because Hashem bothered himself to come to warn the king Avimelech not to put his finger on Sarah. Why? It just shows us how horrible is in the eyes of God when a person goes with a married woman, even though it wasn't an official marriage, even though it wasn't Jews yet. It's prior to Judaism. It's needless to say, if a Jew meets a girl that she tells him, you know, I'm separate from my husband, and we're not together anymore, and I'm waiting for my get, and we're 1 year not together, so they move in and they live together, and in the meantime she's a married woman. That's a horrible sin. One of the hardest things to correct. It's basically almost impossible to erase this sin. Almost impossible. If a man went with a married woman, remember this. If anyone, Chas v'Shalom, has such a test, you should know it's easier to kill and repent than to do this and repent. It's easier to kill. It's not a joke. If a person kills, it's easier to repent. If it was with a married woman, it's impossible almost to repent. Yes. If she doesn't know she's married?
No, if she doesn't know she's married. What if she lied?
She lied to him? If she lied to him, it's a horrible sin, not intentionally. Beshogeg. Just like doing Chilul Shabbat, but not knowing it was Shabbat or it's not permitted on Shabbat. So it's still a sin. A person who violates Shabbat accidentally still have to bring a goat to Yerushalayim, go on the road 1 week to get to Jerusalem, 1 week to come back, to stay wait online, to put $300 to buy a goat, to stand there all day and to make a vidui confession, and everyone looks at him. Very bad for his reputation. In the meantime, his business is going bankrupt. A lot of problems for not intentional sin. Over here, it's a very, very serious sin. So yes, it's much, much lower than to do it intentionally, but it's considered a shogeg and not intentional sin. But for her, it's an intentional sin. Just in case you didn't know, the Torah says that if a man does this, if a Jew goes with a married woman, both of them must be executed with no mercy by the Jewish court. They execute both of them, even if it's the chief rabbi of Israel. You execute them with no mercy, no parole. Execution right away. And in our days, there's no Bet HaMikdash, there's no Sanhedrin, there's no execution. If a married woman was with another man, her marriage is automatically canceled. Her husband not allowed to forgive her. They can't move back in and accept her back. He must give her a get and divorce her. Must. It's not an option. You understand? So everyone who's about to make this sin have to think a million times what's going to be the results in the court of heaven after he does that. Let's move on. So, in another source, now, so we get four sources in the Torah. Now let's talk about the Tanakh. In the book of Melachim, Kings 1, chapter 3, it says like this, Begivon nira Hashem el Shlomo b'chalom. Begivon nira Hashem el Shlomo b'chalom. In the place, city, place not called Givon, Hashem came to King Solomon in his dream, in the night. Vayomer Elokim sh'al ma eten lach. After King David was 70 years old, he was sleeping in bed, freezing, and he was getting ready to leave the world. And he had a few wives. One of them was Bathsheba, that Shlomo was her son. But then she also had a wife named Hagit. And she had a son named Adonia. And this Adonia, once he saw his father is about to die, he decided, I am the new king of Israel. So he made himself a carriage and soldiers running in front of him with horses. And he took some of the Chachamim who were together with David HaMelech to back him up. Just like today in politics. He goes to two sides. Who goes with this candidate? Who goes with this one? And already established himself. But Nathan, the main prophet, You know, and Bathsheba, they came to King David just before he died. And he said, what about your promise? Your promise that your son Shlomo will be the king after you. In the meantime, this Adonijah made a party, inauguration. He nominated himself to be the king. Some of the strong people in the country supporting him. What's going on? Are you going to do something about it? Or are you going to die and leave him as a king? So he said, I swore that King Solomon will be the king. And he, my son Solomon, and he will be the king. And after that, he made him the king. Not that many people know that the time that it happened, how old was Shlomo? How old was his son Shlomo? 12 years old. He didn't have bar mitzvah yet. 12 years old, little kid, imagine, comes with his Game Boy. Come, dear. What? Come, we're putting you in the White House. You're the new president. Now, you have to understand, the king of Israel in those days were better than the president of the United States today. Because Israel was in the highest glory days ever. In the time of King David, the whole world idolized the nation of Israel. And also in the time of Shlomo, everyone looked up to him. Kings from all over the world, they gave their daughters to be his wife. You know, it was an amazing day for the nation of Israel. The temple, the first temple was all over. Everyone admired Israel in those days. There was way before Christianity or before Islam. There was none of this nonsense that we have today, that people have different religions. Besides some idol worshippers, different cults in the world, the nation of Israel were the main people of God. And everybody knew it. So obviously it was a very, very strong days for them. So he's age 12, he became the king. So Hashem came to him in his dream to give him support, to back him up. How can you have confidence when you're 12 years old to take the place of such a person like David HaMelech? So he came to him in a dream and he told him, I am ready to help you. Ask your request, whatever you ask, I'm going to help you. So what did he say? He didn't say, kill my enemies, clean the kingdom for me, help me with this, give me money, nothing. What did he say? 12 years old. He said to him, give me the wisdom that I need to be a fair judge, to judge your nation according to your wish. So Hashem said to him, since you ask something for the sake of heaven and not for your sake, I'm going to give you everything. He gave him wisdom and wealth and power and health and everything. All the blessings he got. Why? Because he was thinking about others, not about himself. And what's the end of it? He's the smartest person ever lived. Nobody in history will be smarter than him. King Solomon. So there was another source in the Tanakh that Hashem came to him in a dream. Then there's a book called the Chtav VeHaKabbalah. It's a very, very Kabbalistic book. Chapter 40, verse 8. This is what he says about the Torah. Alo le'elokim pitronim. Yosef was called from jail to solve the dream of Paro. We find in the Torah another source that Pharaoh had dreams. These dreams changed the history. Those dreams that Pharaoh had about the fat cows and the skinny cows and the fat wheats and the skinny wheats, and the dreams that the minister that they had in jail had, actually affecting us until today. Without this, Yosef would die in jail, would never come out of Egypt, and we wouldn't be sitting here. So it's all a chain reaction. So this is what it says. Lo yuchal adam liftor chalomot b'shlemut. A person cannot solve dreams properly unless if he had Ruach HaKodesh, unless if he has the spirit of Hashem inside of him. Ruach HaKodesh. Most dreams come from the thoughts of the day. Whatever you think during the day, that's what happened to you at night. Your brain still has things to process, and it creates an illusion in your brain. And in the morning you wake up and you dream about certain things. You dream about the doctor, you dream about surgery. Why? Because you were in the hospital yesterday. All day you thought about it. Or you saw some kind of a game in the middle of the night, you're dreaming about sport. So this is not an indication of anything. This is what's left in the brain. and it gets mixed in a computer, and it makes a salad in your brain. Then, some of the dreams come by demons. There are six kinds of demons. I have a whole lecture about it. There's no time to describe them again now. Three like people, three like angels. Some of these demons are bad, and they like to play with people, and they enjoy very much how they fool people. One of the kind of these demons, it's called Yehudain in Aramaic, Jews. Why the Zohar, the Kabbalah, called them Yehudain? He called them Jews. Why? Because they like to come to people in a dream and pretend that they are very holy, legendary rabbis. He comes to you in a dream. Hi, Moshe. I'm the Baba Sali. I have a message for you. I see the image of the Baba Sali speaking to him. Or Ben Ish Chai. Or anything like it. Or Eliyahu Hanavi. And he speaks to him. He gets up in the morning. He comes to his wife. He's not going to believe what happened. Ben Ish Chai spoke to me. Told me this. Told me that. Oh, I was excited for months. Ignorance. It's a problem. He didn't know that the chance that the Ben Ish Chai would come to a Mechalel Shabbat like him is 1,000,000,000% below zero. You know, if you remember, now there was a war in the Arab territories over there. The soldiers were about to go into a building, but it was a booby trap. The Arabs put wires all over, and the entire building was supposed to explode and kill all the soldiers. And then they testified, the soldiers, that Rachel Imenu, Rachel, our mother Rachel, came and warned them not to go into the building. All the soldiers testified, include the not religious one. There was only two religious ones there. There was one soldier that is a grandson of the Chida. His name is Azulai. He testified that from all the soldiers that were there, he was the only one she agreed to talk to. She didn't want to talk to the secular soldiers. They were speaking and she didn't look at them. She only spoke to him. They themselves later testified that he's the only one she spoke to. Two things. One is Shomer Shabbat. Second, he comes from the Rav Chida 300 years ago, one of the biggest rabbis in history. Everyone, his name is Azulai. There's a possibility that he's a Kohen. Why? Where does name Azulai come from? It's abbreviation of Isha, Zona, Vachalala, Lo, Ikachu. Abbreviation, Azulai. Which means, who's the Pasuk say? Kohen cannot take a woman, right? That she's a Chalala, not kosher Kohen. Okay? And a woman that made all kinds of sins before her marriage. Consider a zona, right? So he's not allowed to marry her. So what's going on here? We see that the Rachel Imenu refused to talk to all these Mechalelei Shabbat. And I promise you that this kind of Mechalelei Shabbat today, it's not what it used to be. In the old days, it used to be worse because people knew a lot of Torah. So if somebody was Mechalel Shabbat, he had no excuses. At least these soldiers can claim, listen, I grew up in a kibbutz. What do I know from my life about Shabbat or anything like that? But the same thing over here. So these demons are coming and they are playing with people and they enjoy very much. Then there are dreams who come by an angel. That there's only one solution to this dream, one meaning, and it's 100% real. But in order for you to know it, you need to go to a divine person that has the spirit of Hashem among him, and to solve what the angel was giving you. Because sometimes it's very hard to interpret a dream. Obviously, he says, most of the dreams come in a way that it's very critical the way the person solved the dream. If you come to a person who doesn't know, and you say, oh, that's a very bad dream, it means this and this and that, then, God forbid, he goes after what he says. But if he interprets it in a positive way, he changed the decree that may come into a good decree. So in the dreams, it's strange a little bit. It's hard to understand why it's like that. But the chalomot olchim achar hapeh. The dreams, the Gemara say, follows the mouth. Which mouth? The mouth who solved the dream. Make sure you don't go to your enemy to tell him your dream. Only to someone who loves you and knows the halacha. Because sometimes even someone who loves you, he gets nervous, say, oh, Hashem Yirachem, God forbid, it means this and this and that. And after that, chas v'shalom, something bad can happen. Then it says like this. בחלום אדבר בו, in the Gemara in Masechet Brachot, page 55, this is what it says. In one place it says, בחלום אדבר בו, Hashem say, I'm speaking to him in a dream. And in another place it says, חלומות שב ידברו. Dreams are false. They give false messages. So which one of the two is correct? It looks like a contradiction. בחלום אדבר בו, Hashem is giving a message in a dream. And on the other hand, he said that dream is a false message. So which one of the two is correct? The Gemara asked. The Gemara said, לא קשיא. It's not a contradiction. Here is by an angel, here is by a demon. If Hashem wants to give a message, he comes and he sends an angel, and the angel gives a real message. If it's a demon, that means chalomot shav yedaberu. You cannot take him serious because they fool you. They like to play games with people and get them upset. Then it says like this. The Gemara says, 24 people, dream experts, lived in Jerusalem. When? 2,000 years ago, when the Talmud was written. Pam achat chalamti chalom. One time I had a dream. Ve'alachti etzel kulam. And I went to each one of them to solve the dream. 24 different experts. Each one gave a different explanation to the dream. And all the 24 explanations happened to me in my life. 24 different ones. וזה מה שנאמר, this is what the Gemara says, כל החלומות הולכים אחר הפה. All dreams follow the mouth. דאמר רבי אלעזר, מניין שכל החלומות הולכים אחר הפה? רבי אלעזר say, how do we know that all dreams follows the mouth? שנאמר, ואי כאשר פתר לנו כן היה. שר המשקים and שר האופים, when they came out of jail, they came to Paro, they said there is a Hebrew boy in jail. We had a dream. Everything he told us, that's what happened. So the Gemara teach the secret here. Everything he said actually affected the reality of the dream. Then it says like this. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ishkim ve'nafal lo pasuk letoch piv, arezo nevuah ktana. If a person wake up in the morning and the first thing come to his mouth is a verse. All of a sudden a verse out of nowhere comes to him in his mind. A verse from the Tanakh. That's a little prophecy. They're sending you a message from Shamayim. אמר רבי יוחנן, שלושה חלומות מתקיימים. There are three kinds of dream that come through. One, a dream of the morning. 5, 6, 7 in the morning, just before you wake up. Not midnight or 1 o'clock at night when you just went to sleep. Close to the morning, after the brain finish to process all the information of the previous day, close to the morning, the brain's supposed to be clear. If a dream comes very early in the morning, that's a dream that has a chance to come through. Has a higher chance to be a real dream. Then, חלום שחלם לו חברו. A dream that you did not dream about yourself. Rather, your friend dreamed it for you. Your friend comes and has a dream about you. That this and this happened to you. So, that's already a second opportunity for the dream to come to be real. Then the third one is a dream that is actually solved inside the dream. Not only you're dreaming, inside the dream, they're already giving you the meaning of the dream, what to do. That's very rare to us. It can happen once in a lifetime. Right? So dream like this has a high chance that it will come through. Those are the three kinds of dreams that can be real. אמר רבי שמואל בר נחמני, אמר רבי יונתן, אין מרים לו לאדם אלא מהרהורי ליבו. Should know most of the dream, by far, have no meaning. They only reflect the thoughts that you had in the previous week. Everything, a little detail from here, detail from there, and it builds up a mixed story with no meaning inside your head. So there's no reason to be too upset or too excited, because most of the dreams anyway are false. Then the Gemara continue. The Gemara says, a dream of the beginning of the night, a dream of the beginning of the night, it's completely false. Why? Because before a person goes to sleep, he eats dinner. And when the food goes in the stomach, it creates steam and gas, which goes up when he puts his head down. So it goes up the pipe into the head. And it presses on little areas in the brain and create a false images that are already in the brain. It's like touching different places on the brain, and it creates an illusion. This kind, it's like a person is like, in a reality, a person takes drugs and it creates an illusion in his brain. Same thing over here. That's why once you went to sleep and there's still food in the stomach that is not digested yet, so all these dreams of midnight, 11, 12, 1, even 2 o'clock at night, it's all because of that. In the morning, after all the food got processed, and obviously the brain is clean from all the thoughts of the day, the chance that the dream is real is much, much higher. Then it says like this. It says, this is what Yosef says, that Paro had the dream twice, because they wanted him to know that the dream is real. Once, there's another rule. Once the dream repeats more than once. If the same dream repeats more than once, if you ignore that first time, think again after the second time. It's not so obvious that a dream will repeat twice. So therefore, if it repeats twice, go to a Chacham, tell him, let him explain to you. But again, if it repeats twice in the morning, not at the beginning of the night. If you had the same dream within days or even weeks in the morning, same dream exact, better to go and tell it to someone to give you an advice what to do. Then the Meiri, also like 700-800 years ago, explained this Gemara in Masechet Brachot like this. He said, if a person sees a dream and he cannot understand the root of it, if it's good or if it's bad, and it's confused, right? So when the people pray in the middle of the prayers, right, when they do Birkat Kohanim, the Kohanim, and everybody answer Amen for the Kohanim's blessing, he should say, Ribon HaOlamim, we have it in the Sidurim. Dear God, Master of Universe, I am yours and my dreams are yours. Whether I dreamed it myself, if somebody else dreamed for me, if it's a good dream, make it come through, like the dream of Yosef. If it needs medicine, send the medicine for it, like you did for Moshe and Yericho on by Elisha, and like you turned the curse into a blessing, the curse of Bilam turned into a blessing, please turn it to me to a blessing. So you don't have to remember it. You can see it's in the Sidurim. It's called Atavat Chalom, making the dream better. Sefer Hasidim, also a very important book, hundreds of years ago, it says like this, if a person eats spicy food, like hot peppers, or drink alcohol, spicy drinks, and was thinking about a woman before he went to sleep, and then he went to sleep, and then he dreams in his sleep that he have relation with a woman in the middle of his sleep. Or all these dreams are coming from the thoughts of the day and the influence of the spicy food who create lots of steam from his stomach into his brain. But it's definitely not a real dream that comes from an angel. It's not a pure dream. It's a dream that comes from the negative side, not from the positive side. But if he see a woman in a dream that he never saw in his life, he doesn't recognize this woman, and he dreams about a woman, right? And he didn't think about a woman today before he went to sleep. And all of a sudden a woman come. This is a demon that comes in the image of a woman. Remember before I said demon comes in the images of holy rabbis? There are demons can come in any image they want. It's depend on what kind of demon. So this demon come in the image of a woman who comes to him in a dream. Right? So this is all they playing with your brains and make an illusion in the brain of a person. But the way they do it, they don't have influence on the brain. They can't go into the head and touch the brains. But they go inside the ear all the way deep and they talk to you while you sleep into your subconscious. And they create something and a person thinks it's real and his eyes are closed and he feels that he's inside this reality, but it's not. And it says like this, if a person, this is Sefer Hasidim, if a person wants to verify that this is the truth, he can say to a person, he can go to a person that sleeps in the morning and whisper in his ear all kinds of things, and then during the day talk to him if he had a dream, and this person will tell him that this and this, this is what I dream. Because the person whispering in his ear while he's sleeping, he doesn't know someone planted it in his head. So that creates an illusion in the brain when a person is sleeping. Also, sometimes a person is trying to wake up and the demon is choking him not to wake up. Like sometimes many people came to me and said, I was trying to get up and to open my eyes, but it's like someone is choking me. I cannot move. I cannot do anything. So that's the answer. I hear a lot of these questions about it. So this is the answer. Then, if they're showing him a dream that he can see that it's a message to come and make repentance, to do tshuva for a sin that he does, right? So he should not ignore it. He should really get scared and start to check his actions and his sins to make sure that he does not continue to do these sins, because if they already bother to come and send him a message in his dream, lachzor b'tshuva, to make tshuva, it's probably one of his last chances. Probably one of his last chances. I one time had a dream about a guy who was doing bad things. I called to warn him. He obviously ignored the warning and something horrible happened to him. If he was smart and stopped what I was telling him to stop, and he knew that it's a real dream, because I couldn't know about his sin if I didn't dream about it. I didn't know about it. But I asked him, do you do this sin? He was in shock. He said, who told you? I said to him, I had a dream about you, that this is what you do, and you're going to end up very bad. And he said, thank you for telling me, I'm so ashamed, this and that. And then after a month, I found out they continued to do this sin. And then after a few months, Shem Yirachim. So this is just to show you, to ignore, obviously, it's very foolish. You might as well wake up now before it's too late. Then the Gemara says, there is a way to cancel the bad influence on the dream about a person's life. How? By fasting the following day when he had a very bad dream. It's called Ta'anit Chalom. In the old days, they used to even fast on Shabbat, even though you're not allowed to fast on Shabbat. Shabbat, it's like a holiday in higher even. But since it was a critical dream, they used to fast on Shabbat. But today, the dreams are not as significant as they used to be. So today nobody fasts on Shabbat, even if it's a bad dream. Okay? Because it's not so simple just to fast on Shabbat. So it says like this. There are three dreams. Not today. Remember, in the old days, just for us to get an idea which consider the worst dream in a Gemara. There are three dreams that a person fasts even on Shabbat. What are they? Number one, if he see a Sefer Torah is burning in his dream, he has to fast right away the next day, even if it's Shabbat morning, he fasts all day. Or if he see Yom HaKippurim in the middle of Tfilat Ne'ilah, see everyone with their talit standing just the last hour of Yom Kippur, El Nora Alila, Am Tzilanu Mechila Bishat Ne'ilah, if he see it in his dream, that means his end is coming. Right away has to fast and make tshuva. And if some say, even not in Shat HaNeila, any moment of Yom Kippur, if he's seen his dream, it's already enough to fast even on Shabbat. And The third one is if he sees that he's reading in the Torah, leaning in the Torah, like he's the Baal Koreh. But we're not talking someone who leans every day, Monday, Thursday, Shabbat, for years, and he obviously can dream about it. Someone who's not a reader, and all of a sudden sees himself reading in the Torah, and yesh omrim, and there's one more opinion, that he see that he's marrying a woman. He's in the middle of a marriage, that he's marrying a woman, right? Or that he sees that his teeth are falling from his mouth. Just 3-4 weeks ago, I had a guest in Yom Tov of Pesach, a guy from the yeshiva. I brought him to the yeshiva a year ago. He says he's going to be a man. Baruch Hashem, he stayed more than a year. He was invited to me for the Yom Tov. So he came to me and he said, you know, I had this dream that my teeth are falling 3 times in a row. Same dream 3 times, not twice. So he said, I want to speak to one particular rabbi in Monsi. I want to go and ask him, what should I do? Now I knew that rabbi is a very strict one who would ruin his life with the answer. I knew it's a new Baal Tshuva, it's maybe can be too critical for you. I told him, you don't need to answer. Just do Tshuva, pray to Hashem, everything will be fine. So he said, no, I'm going to ask him. I said, listen, I told you better not to ask. He said, no, I have to ask. I said, okay, go ahead. So he went to him. He said to him the dream. So he said to him, oy vey, you had this dream 3 times. What's the most favorite food that you like? Pizza? So the guy said, no, meat. I love meat. He used to be in South America, eat meat, not kosher meat, all his life. He was traveling. Now he became a tzaddik. So he liked meat very much. So he told him, don't ever touch meat ever again. Imagine you tell a Bukharian guy, you're not allowed to touch meat. The entire Yom Tov, he drilled in my head. What did I ask? Why did I ask? Everyone passing the meat at the table. I said, eat chicken. He said, no, it's not allowed to eat meat. But chicken is not meat. It's meat. I said, no, he meant meat. You like meat the most. Chicken, it's a different kind of dish. No, but I don't like chicken. Eat fish. I don't like fish. I like meat. The entire Yom Tov, he was suffering. So, someone who sees his cheeks are falling. Cheeks. The cheeks falling from his face. It's a good dream. Even if they fall with the teeth attached to them, the gums, it's a good dream. It shows that his enemies who were wishing bad for him died. That's it. Those who were trying to make bad for him all the time and speaking against him in the place of his work or whatever he is. So they just realized, you know, he just realized right now that his danger is gone. Then the Gemara says like this, listen good, not the Gemara, Sefer Hasidim, this is what it says. Ma'aseh she'asu Aaron lemet ve'nishar min ha'etz. The carpenter made a coffin to a dead person, to bury him. You know, the Aaron Kvura. And there was leftover wood after he cut, there was some leftover. One Jew said, I'm going to take the leftover and make myself a violin from the extra pieces. I prepare a violin to play. They told him, the rabbis, don't touch it. If they dedicated this wood for a burial of a person, left over, it's not good. Don't touch it. But he didn't care. I know better than the rabbis. And he made a violin from that piece. And then he went to sleep that night, and he saw that dead person that was buried in this coffin, that he came to him in a dream. And he said to him, if you're going to make this violin, I'm going to take revenge against you. That's what the dead person told him. And itnakem becha, I'll revenge against you. But he didn't care. Look what a fool. The rabbi warned him, didn't care. The dead person came in a dream, still wanted to make violin. And also, I'm going to break your violin. One way or the other, he won't have a violin. The dead person told him in a dream. But he still didn't care. Then he became very sick. And when he told the dream to his son took the violin and smashed it to pieces, and he picked up all the pieces and he went to the grave of that person and he put the pieces on his grave. That day he became cured and was already going to die. So what do we learn from this story in Sefer Chassidim? Few things. One is this inyanim sguliim. There are spiritual things that not always make sense to us. Like, what do you care what you do with the leftover of the coffin to bury a dead person? Why the dead person cared so much? It's leftover, right? It's preferred, it's going to go to the garbage? Hard to understand. Well, what's really significant about this story is that we learn that a dead person can harm a living person. That's scary. Person that died can be makpid after he died. And someone, if he speaks Lashon Hara about him or anything like that, Chas v'Shalom, he may get permission to hurt him. That's why we got to be very careful. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, page 44, one person was walking in duty. And he was very wicked, giving hard time to people. One day he died. And the same day he died, one very big rabbi died the same day. And the rabbi, everyone in town was preparing his big funeral and was taking care of his body. And few relatives of this wicked duty man, they also took his bed, preparing to go to the funeral in the same cemetery, in different area. In the middle of the funeral, robbers came and attacked the people to rob them. So everyone started to run all over. The people from the funeral of the rabbi and the people from the funeral of this wicked duty man. There's one student who was afraid that they won't mix up between the two bodies, so he stood in the bushes to make sure that they're not going to mix between the two bodies, the two coffins. Later, after they came back, they got mixed. The people from the rabbi's side, they took the body of the wicked man. And the people from the wicked man, they took the body of the rabbi. And this student was screaming, "No, you have it wrong. It's not supposed to be like this. This is the rabbi, not this." And whatever he did, nothing helped. They buried the rabbi in the grave of this wicked man, and the wicked man where the rabbi was supposed to be. So the student felt horrible for his rabbi, why it happened like this. Then he came to him in a dream, the rabbi, and he said like this to him. He said, "Don't worry about me, I'm in heaven. I'm having a wonderful time. And that person, the wicked one, is in hell, and he's suffering tremendously. The reason it happened in a funeral, because one time in my life I heard somebody speaking harsh to a rabbi, to a Talmid Chacham, and I was there, and I did not protest. Because of that, that was my punishment, that my special funeral will turn into a nothing. And this wicked guy, who only did bad in his life, one time did something good. He prepared a party, and then he prepared the party, and that day was horrible rain, lots of rain. Nobody showed up, right? So after that, he realized there's nothing to do with the food, so he went to a place where all the poor people, and he gave them all the food, instead of throwing it to the garbage. And thanks to that, he had the funeral like a king. Everyone went, say Kaddishim for him, praying for him in his funeral. So he said, this is why it got switched. So what do we see? This is another source that his rabbi came to him the day that he got buried in a dream to cheer him up because he felt horrible that that's what happened to his rabbi, and that was the end of it. Then the book Reshit Chochma, this is what it says. Three things that a person sees them in a dream, it brings him peace. And these are the ones. A mountain, a person sees a mountain in his dream, or a bird, or Kdera. What's Kdera? A bowl that you cook inside. Three things. A bowl, a bird, and a mountain. Three things. The Gemara says, there are three dreams that you can see, three prophets that you can see them in your dream. Two of them are good for you, and one is a doubt if it's good. If someone sees Ishayahu, Isaiah, in a dream, right? You see him learning in a dream. Expect a comfort to come to you about a problem that you have. If you see Jeremiah, Yirmiyah, Yidag min haporanut, be very careful, bad days are coming. Why? Because, why bad days are coming? Why? Because he was the prophet in the most horrible times in history of the Jewish people. The destruction of the temple, slaughtering so many bodies, rivers of blood in Beitar. See Jerusalem, the temple is burning. So all his prophecies are horrible. They all came through, unfortunately. If you see him in a dream, it's not a good sign. Someone who sees Yechezkel, Ezekiel, Yetzapeh legalut v'sofo geula. You know you're soon going to exile if you live in Israel. You have to leave Israel and live somewhere, but in the end, you will have a happy end. This journey will have a geula in the end. If somebody see Rabbi Pinchas in a dream, expect wisdom to come to you. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that means you're going to be righteous. Rabbi Ishmael ben Elisha, you have to be very worried. Doesn't really apply to us, you know. We don't even know how they look. That was in a time in the old days. If somebody comes to you and says, you know, my name is Rabbi Ishmael ben Elisha. So, huh? Who are you? Most Jews don't even know. You don't know who I am? Okay. The next day he has a dream. Ani Yirmiyahu Anavi. I'm Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu? Jeremiah? I thought Jeremiah is a cowboy from Texas. He didn't know he's a big prophet. He's an ignorant kid. What does he know from his life? That's why nobody dreams about them today. The old days, everyone knew who these people are. Today, nobody knows. Now listen good. I'm giving you now very interesting dreams, what they mean. Let's see. If you ever had this one of these dreams, you know. Somebody who see in the middle of the dream that is intimately with his own mother, God forbid, expect lots of wisdom to come to you. Yeah. I told you, this is above our understanding. Five things the Gemara spoke about in ox. If somebody eats from his body, from his ox, in the dream, he's going to be wealthy soon. If the ox bang him with his horns, you're going to have kids that are big Talmidei Chachamim. If the ox beat you, suffering is on the way to you, God forbid. If he kicked you, the ox, you're going on a very long journey. If you sit on the back of the ox and ride, you're going to be a big leader. Someone who sees a donkey in a dream, expect salvation. Someone who sees a white horse in a dream, whether he's resting, whether he's running, it's a good dream. Someone who sees a red horse, if he's standing, it's good. If he's running, it's bad. Someone who sees Ishmael, son of Abraham, the wild beast, Ishmael, the grandfather of Ahmad and Mustafa. If you see him in a dream, that means Hashem is going to listen to your prayers. But only if it's Ishmael, son of Abraham, not another Ishmael. Aroe gamal b'chalom, someone who sees a camel, he was supposed to die from a punishment from heaven, but got saved from it in the last minute. Someone who sees an elephant in his dream, many wonders are happened to him. Lots of wonders. Someone who goes to the bathroom in a dream, it's a good sign. Someone who goes up to the roof of his house or the building is going to be somebody famous and big. Someone who comes down from a roof, he was famous, is on the way down. Someone who ripped his clothes in a dream, that means they ripped his verdict against him in heaven. Something bad was supposed to happen, but he did, I guess, tzedakah or good mitzvah, and they ripped the verdict against him. Someone who goes into the lake in a dream become a chief rabbi of a place, yeshiva, shul, something. Someone who they take blood from him in a dream, his sins are forgotten, forgiven. Someone who sees a snake in a dream, his parnasah is going to be good. It's going to make a good living. If the snake bit him, what does it mean?
Huh?
Very good. Very good. When it comes to business, Bukhari knows what's going on here. He doubled his parnasah. Very good. Surprised me. Yeah, so if the snake bit him, he wakes up and screams, Rachel, his wife, what? You can buy the car you want. What happened, Moshe? Don't worry, don't ask questions. Go order it tomorrow. Then, if the snake killed him in a dream, he lost all his parnasah. Someone who sees drinks in a dream, all of them are good except wine. If you see wine in a dream, not good. Every other dream, orange juice, water, whatever, it's all good. All animals in a dream are good except monkey and what do you call this little one with the thorns? Porcupine? Porcupine? Porcupine. With a monkey. Make sure you don't go to the Bronx Zoo.
Obama not included.
Huh? Obama is a handsome guy. What do you want from you? Anyway, so it says like this. All fruits are good in a dream, except, who knows, dates. Dates, yes. All vegetables are good for the dream, except lefet. How do you say lefet in English? Huh? Beets? Beets, yeah, right, beets. Good, beets. Beads is not good. All colors are good in a dream except one. Which one?
Green.
Light blue. Light blue. Like the sky. Someone who sees a eulogy in a dream, it should have been his eulogy on him, but he got saved. Someone who sees in a dream that he screams, Amen, Yeshmer Abba Mevarach, answering Kaddish, he is guaranteed to have a share in the world to come. Someone who say Kriyat Shema in a dream, Shema Yisrael. No, he deserves that the spirit of Hashem will be on him. But unfortunately, the generation he lives in is not worthy of it. Someone who sees that he puts tefillin in a dream, something very big and good is about to happen to him. Someone who sees himself praying in a dream, it's a good sign for him. Someone who has relation with a married woman in a dream will expect to have lots of Torah. Yes.
How does that come together?
I'll tell you how. It says, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Morasha Keilat Yaakov. The Gemara says, Al tikra Morasha, Ela Meorasa. Na'ara me'orasa means a married woman that already had kiddushin, but she wasn't with her husband yet. So if you see that he's together with Isha me'orasa, together with a married woman that got engaged officially with a kiddushin, then Torah, tziva lanu Moshe, Hashem gave us Torah, it goes together.
People right now going to think about
married
women all the time.
No, we're talking if it comes to you, not you want to think about it.
To get the drink.
Now, someone who see wheat in a dream. Wheat, like barley, wheat. Wheat, without the S. Wheat, what does it mean? He's going to see peace. Someone who came before, I said Na'ara Me'orasa, but it's not fully married, Na'ara Me'orasa, because she wasn't together with her husband yet. Now it's a dream that he was with a woman that was already married for a while with her husband. He is guaranteed to have a share to the world to come, but only if he doesn't know this woman and never had thoughts about her. That's the answer to you. If he thought about a married woman and dream about her, it's a sin, it's not a blessing. Then, someone who sees barley in his dream, his sins are wiped out. Someone who sees the grape tree full of grapes, his wife will have healthy pregnancies. No miscarriages. If he see figs in his dream, the Torah that he learned will be memorized. He won't forget it. Someone who see an olive in a dream is going to have good reputation soon. Someone who see olive oil in a dream, expect the light of the Torah. To expect the light of the Torah. Someone who see a goat in a dream, he see a goat, the year is going to be blessed for him. If he see more than one goat, two and up, few years are coming, are blessed for him, more than one. Someone who see hadas v'chalom, hadas, hadasim, how do you say hadas in English?
Myrtle.
Huh?
Myrtle.
So, what's happened? His businesses are successful. But if he doesn't have any businesses, soon he's going to have. He will inherit one. Someone who sees an etrog in a dream, that means Hashem likes him. He's beautiful in the eyes of Hashem. Someone who sees a male rooster in a dream, expect a baby boy. Someone who sees more than one male rooster, expect few baby boys. Someone who sees eggs in a dream, he has a request from Hashem that is pending. No decision about it yet. If the eggs are broken, they got broken in a dream. What does it mean? That his request accepted or not? Huh? Accepted, good. Someone who sees nuts and zucchinis and utensils from glass, glasses, plates, and all kinds of things like this that are broken and smashed to pieces, right? That means that his requests are accepted, not only eggs, also glass, nuts. Okay. Someone who comes into a city, they're going to do things for him. Someone who shaves his head in a dream, it's a good sign. Someone who shaves his head and his beard in a dream, not in reality, in a dream. It's a good sign for him and for his family. Then, I have to skip some because I don't want to keep you here all night.
Go ahead.
No, if I see five people leave the lecture, that means time to run out.
They go out to smoke.
Yeah, okay. Then it says like this. When a person get up in the morning after a bad dream, he has to say first thing after he say mode ani, chalomot shav yedaberu. Dreams false are telling. When a person has a good dream at night, he say chalomot shav yedaberu in a question mark. You understand the difference? Who say it's going to be false? It's real. Depend on the pronunciation. And someone who is modest inside the bathroom. Why inside the bathroom? Because we think nobody anyway sees me, so who cares? Over here at least I can be not modest. But he knows Hashem is watching him. That's a sgula, to have good dreams in his life, not to torture him in dreams. Someone who speaks against the tzaddik, they scare him in dreams, bad dreams. So now the Gemara says like this. This is, comes actually from a Kabbalistic book called Chesed L'Avraham, the grandfather of the Chida, 350 years ago, he wrote it in Morocco. This is what it says. It says, there are two powers in the world, spiritual, that this is their name. One name, Ayin, Pei, Resh, Yud, Resh, Aleph. You're not allowed to say their names, especially not at night. And the other one is Kuf, Samech, Tet, Yud, Mem, Yud, Nun. When you see the recording, write it down. Then it says like this. Every night, they get a power, and they spread in the world. And from one side. And then is the female Satan, Lamed Yud, Lamed Yud Taf, that comes from the other side of the world, and they go and play with people in a dream and make them have all kinds of bad dreams until they cause them to waste seed in the middle of a dream. And they only go to people who during the day do not watch their eyes and look at the not modest ladies. So it's all measure for measure. And they go and they make him now commit more sins because of the way he behaves during the day. And there is one more, it's called Nun Ayin Mem Hey. Some Israeli girls call themselves by this name, not knowing what it means. They think it's a nice name. If we only knew who was this bad angel, maybe they think twice. And once they come to a person, they take the drop of that seed that they wasted in a dream, and it gives power to more demons. There are more demons that gets the power of the sin, and they create more new demons, and they get more power. And don't think that these demons are created for nothing, because everything that Hashem created in the world has a very deep meaning. Not always we understand why. And people who curse, they go on the street and curse and say bad words. And people who all day think is dirty. Right? So they are the ones who they like to attack. And when a person die, all these demons come to his funerals, and if his children going into the cemetery, they can hurt them. That's why the custom in Jerusalem that the sons of the deceased person do not enter the cemetery in a funeral. They stay outside. They come to the gate, and that's it. Because of this, because of that Kabbalistic thing I just told you. So we should know one last thing for today. Everything a dead man is taking in a dream from the house, it's good. Man, it's a very common dream. People say, oh, I saw my grandmother, I saw this, I saw that. Everything that they take, it's good, except one thing. Who knows? One thing if they take from the house is not good. What is it? Shoes. If a dead person come and take a shoe, it's not a good thing. We should know, Bezrat Hashem, one before Mamash we concluded, we should know one thing. Today, the world is different than what it used to be in the time of the Talmud. Everything I told you was written 2,000 years ago or 800 years ago. So it's very, very old, ancient writings. The world was a different place in those days than today. Today, the level of holiness in the world is tremendously down. So the level of purity is down. The level of his purity is impurity is also down. Because ele keneged ele bara Hashem. Hashem always balanced the good and the bad. Why? If the good is here and the bad is there, no one wants to go to the bad. So where was Moshe Rabbeinu? There was Bilam to balance it right away. What? Moshe speaks to Hashem, Bilam also. He can know things about Hashem for the goyim. The world. The rabbis make miracles. The idols also make miracles. Why people go to idols worshiping? Because they see results. That's the way Hashem made the world. But he told you, be careful, don't do idol worshiping. Go to the holy side. But some people want shortcuts. No, I'm going to go to the idol. So since the holiness in the world is less, people in the old days, Hashem spoke to them clearly. Today it's very hard to get a clear message. We are not worthy that Hashem comes and speaks to us. In the old days, if a person spoke one sentence, Lashon Hara, he comes home, he sees stains on the wall. Leprosy, stains on the wall. One more word of Lashon Hara, he comes to his clothes. One more word of Lashon Hara, it's in his body. They have to shave his skin, his hair, send him to isolation. And then a week later, the Kohen check him to see if he's pure. And they have to shave his eyebrows and hair and every hair in his body. And then he has to sacrifice a goat and he brings two birds. And they slaughter one bird. They take the blood with water from the Shiloach and the Zatar spice. And they mix it and they splash on him. It's a whole ceremony. People were very careful not to speak Lashon Hara. But if they got angry, and they did, Hashem right away hit him to save them. Why? Because they were worthy of it. Today, what's the point? He speaks all his life, Lashon Hara. There's no holiness today like it used to be. That's the reason I'm telling you this, is to conclude here. I don't want people to start living in panics after they heard all this. Today, the dreams, most of them are in not sufficient. Not sufficient. Even in the morning, you shouldn't be worried. You shouldn't be worried. And I'm telling it to you with 100% confidence. One time I had to go to one of my flights, and the flight was in the morning, and in the middle of the night, around 3, 4, or 5 in the morning, I dreamed that my plane crashed. A few hours before the flight, I saw the plane in my dream crashing, and people screaming and smashing, and it's a horrible dream. And I got up in the morning, and I say, Chalomot Shav Yedaberu, and I went on a plane. It was the nicest flight ever. Yeah, so, just why? If it was 2,000 years ago, of course, I would never dare to do it. Why? When you have a dream like this, that's it. It's a done deal. But today, the level, like I said, is much, much less. So which are the dreams we have to really be careful from? If a dream repeats 2, 3, 5 times, it's always in the morning, then what do you have to lose? Do something about it. If once in a while you have a bad dream, don't start panicking, running, bothering the rabbis. They have enough work. Rabbi, I had a bad dream. 50 pages of email to describe every detail in a dream, that in the end the rabbi will say, I really don't know what to say. It's hard to know. One more last warning. Today in this generation, there are people, some of them call themselves rabbi, some of them don't pretend that they're rabbi, they just call themselves experts, that pretend that they know how to solve dreams. And it became a very good business, because one fool brings the other. Come, I have somebody who solves dreams. They even make radio shows about it. Call us with your dream, and he pretends he knows. Nobody knows how to solve dreams for one simple reason. You heard what I said. You have to have Ruach HaKodesh. How many people you know that have Ruach HaKodesh in the world? 2, 3? They're not here. They don't answer phones, these people that have Ruach HaKodesh that I know. They don't have time to answer phones. Excuse me, Rabbi, I have a dream to tell you. It just won't happen. So the ones who claim they know, 99.99999%, they're fakers. Please be careful. Don't start giving money to people. Don't let people panic you. make you panic, and usually some of these people will take advantage on your dream to benefit from you. And say, if you want to get safe from that, give me such and such donation, and we'll do a special thing for you. Why? Because everything they do is to take advantage on people. So you got to be very careful. You have to be very, very careful. Remember always the rule that I always say. Any person who represents religion in any way, and you need a favor from him, whether to pray for your sickness, whether to help you to become pregnant, whether to take you out of your depression, whether that your son will come out of drugs. Everyone with his problems, you know, there's tons of problems. Once he make a condition, if you give me such and such, we will do for you, run away from him. And it doesn't matter who he is. I repeat, it doesn't matter how famous he is and what's his reputation. You stay away from him. If he say, okay, we will do for you, we'll pray for you, we'll learn for you, we'll do this, we'll do that, and he doesn't ask anything. So if salvation will come to you, first thing you do is go back to this person, don't be ungrateful, and give his yeshiva or whatever his causes are generously after. But if he say, first you give me, and then we'll do, that's 100% fake. Stay away from him. I say that, I'm tired of repeating it almost every month, because some people don't listen. Like, they continue to call, I did this and this and that. I say, fool, why did you do that? You understand? And please don't call me, what do you think about that one? What do you think about this one? They're all not good. All of them not good. Please don't call me about names. He's a grandson of this Kabbalist. His grandfather was a holy rabbi. Maybe, but he's not. His grandfather was. He's not. Why? His grandfather did not accept people that put a jar and they have to put thousands of dollars every day for him to give them a bracha. Did you ever see Baba Sali asking money to give someone bracha? Or Rav Kaduri? Or the people from the previous generation? If you come to Rav Ovadia Yosef, say you have a horrible problem, Rabbi, pray for me. He's going to tell you, pay for me and do for me? Or Rav Ben Zion? Or the Stipler? Or Rav Chaim Kanievsky? Or Rav Eliashiv Alav Shalom? Or Rav Steinman? Who? Show me one holy rabbi from the Gdolei Ador who ever dared to ask something from miserable people in advance. You won't find. You'll never find. Who does it? Those with the empty holiness, empty mind, empty holiness. I told you, beard everyone can have. Mustafa also have a beard. The Maharaji in India who bowed down to Buddha 3 times a day also have a white nice beard and a turban. Yeah, if you change his last name, you may think he's one of the Kabbalists from Bet El. You understand? But please don't be fooled. Please, how many times we have to repeat it? Today it's an epidemic of crooks. Epidemic. Don't be fooled by people. You have problems? Best solution, get in a room and scream to Hashem with tears. Best solution. If you know one real chacham that you know is not greedy and is not after you for your money, you trust him, then you go to him. Pray for me, do for me, give me advice. Yes, it's good. That's what the Torah says. Ba'aya, elech etzel hachacham. Before he even goes to the doctor, he runs to his rabbi that he can trust. That he can trust. And some people write to me, you spoke against this one and against this one. They get angry at me. They don't want to listen to my lectures anymore. I don't need them. They can go. I'm not interested in fake people. I better have 10% of my listeners that wants the truth than 90% or 100% of fakers. Anyway, nothing good comes out of them. I tell every one of the fakers, you don't want to hear it? Don't come. Don't listen. Go. Goodbye. Don't have to bother telling me. You want to listen to the truth? I'm not asking from you. Not for money, not precondition, no appointment costs money by me, and nobody pays me salary wherever I go. Never. If you find one person, say, I ask him something in return or in advance, or condition, or if you do for me, I'll do, or anything like this, or I charge you such and such to come to speak in your house, then you put me out of business. But you're not going to find. Why? I don't work for anybody. And don't make condition. And Hashem has enough money to take care of every human being. But the truth sometimes hurts. The truth sometimes hurts. And usually if I say something and I hint to someone, it's after knowing 1,000,000% that he did what I say. Not by hearing in the street. So if I say that this person got killed and this person got caught and this, It's not because I heard somebody say on the news. No. Because people who I know personally got hurt by them. And they took away everything they have and they destroyed their life. So one person today told me, but he helped me a lot, this one that you speak about. And to my brother. So I say to him, I never claim that these fakers don't do anything bad in their life. Even the Hamas and the Hezbollah, they do some nice things. Everybody does some nice thing in his life. Nobody ever claimed that the crooks do only bad. They do some good also. They say Kriyat Shema, they pray, they keep Shabbat. They do some good things. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the threat. The threat is that when you come to them, they may put you out of your home, taking advantage on your misery. That's what I'm warning. Who knows? Hashem knows. Maybe they did good things in their life. We don't know. Well, I don't claim to know every step in their life. And it's not relevant. It's not relevant. Chilonim also do a lot of good things. But they mechalel Shabbat, have no share to the world to come. But they do good things. They fight for the land. They do a lot of things. They make peace between friends. They donate sometimes. Some of them are doctors saving lives. It's irrelevant. We go by the Torah. That I say to you in the name of Chacham Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul, it's not my opinion. He say, anybody who asks in advance and make conditions, run away from him. It's from the Sitra Achra. And who say that? You can say it in my name. The biggest rabbi and the biggest Kabbalist who live in our days. Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul passed away 15, 16 years ago. The biggest, the most humbled, didn't have mansions, didn't have millions of dollars, took the bus, lived like a simple, ordinary person, and was the biggest in the world. And if he knew all the Kabbalah, and he knew all the sgulot, and he knew all the tradition, and he said, this is the rule, that's it. What are we arguing now? He did good, he did bad, he sometimes does good, he sometimes does bad. It's irrelevant. It's right now as a threat. Sometimes a person has double personality. One day is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the next day is Esav. When I worry about his Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai character, we worry about his Esav character. From that, we worry. Thank you very much. Good night. Next Tuesday, I won't be here. So remember, I'm out of town next Tuesday. We will be back in 2 weeks. Thank you very much. Okay, any questions, please? No? Yeah?
Anybody have any questions?
Anyone? Yes?
I have a friend who married a guy and about 7 years ago. This guy was involved in something like, you know, mafioso sort of stuff. And he disappeared, sort of. And he never found his body or anything, and now she's stuck.
She can never ever get married until they find his body. Ever.
Wow. Really?
Very sad, yeah. That means it's not the dreams are not affecting him in any way. If he doesn't dream, it's like it never happened.
What
if
someone had a dream
that you're
swimming in blood?
Swimming in blood? It's I didn't find a source for it in the Gemara or in the books. Few times in the blood. Usually, a blood is not a positive thing. If a person is in a blood, but it doesn't mean that it's for sure a negative dream. We have to check. I have to look for a source for it.
How do I know if Hashem is accepting my tefillah?
You will never know until the things will happen. If you request for something and it happens, you know. But one thing for sure, every time you pray, you get credits in Shamayim for the time and the efforts. Whether he accept your prayers or not, that's another issue. But when you pray, you make a mitzvah from the Torah to speak to Hashem, mitzvah of emunah, mitzvah of counting on Hashem, ashlech al Hashem yafcha v'uichal. There's about 8 or 9 mitzvot by praying to Hashem, even in your own car when you drive. So it's a lot of mitzvot speaking to Hashem.
Water and swimming in water.
In water it's very good. Swimming in water, it's purity and Torah. En Torah el ha-mayim, ken, en mayim el ha-Torah.
You see your kids in your dreams.
That's because you see them in the house every day. All right, yeah.
Falling down the building. Falling down or something.
Falling down is usually skila. That means a person is making a scene that maybe deserves stoning, such as Chilul Shabbat or things like that. So he has to be careful. If a dream, what?
Running water.
Running water? You're seeing a dream?
No. After the bad dream, you wrote the faucet.
Nah.
Nothing?
No. Rabbi.
Yeah?
You also said that in Yom Kippur, you said this dream that people have when I was
if he dreams about Yom Kippur, it's not good. No, it's not a good dream. It didn't say it means he's going to die. It's just not a good dream. All right, anyone, I just want to remind people, anyone who wants to sponsor CDs, it's a very good earning. And also we're making subtitles to the new CD now, Life After Death, to Russian, which means they mute my voice, like we did in the Torah and Science. It's 2.5 hours. It's proving that life after death exists, what happened to the soul, and it shows that everything the parapsychologist found, that's already in the Zohar, in the Kabbalah, in the Gemara, that the Chachamim spoke about it more than 2,000 years ago. That's going to make thousands of people religious. Everyone wants to have a share of it. Speak to me or to Rabbi Neria Cohen. Thank you very much.